Wenn es um das wissenschaftliche Auswerten von Knochen geht, dann denken wir ja immer sehr gerne an Archäologen, wie sie da so sorgfältig und akribisch kleine Knöchelchen ausgraben, einen nach dem anderen. Die werden dann mit kleinen Pinselchen vorsichtig gesäubert und hinterher mühsam zu großen Gesamtskeletten zusammengesetzt. Die echte Auswertungsarbeit, die findet heute natürlich im Labor statt. Zum Beispiel in modernen medizinischen Geräten wie dem Computertomographen. Damit kennt sich Katharina Havati aus, Professor Katharina Havati vom Tübinger Labor für virtuelle Anthropologie. Dort scannt man alte Knochen eben im CT ein, um sie dann zum Beispiel mit dem 3D-Drucker zu reproduzieren. Ich habe mich mit ihr unterhalten und sie gefragt, was bisher ihr aufregendster Knochenfund war.
Well, actually the most exciting bone that I personally found is a tooth from a Homo erectus individual from Africa. And this person lived about 700,000 years before present. But the most exciting bones that my team has found are actually several Neanderthal teeth and bone fragments that were found in two different sites in Greece where we're working at. And these date between 40 and 100,000 years before present.
Also die aufregendsten Funde, die sie bis jetzt gemacht haben, sind Knochen von einem Homo erectus, der vor ungefähr 700.000 Jahren gelebt hat, aber auch Teile von Neandertalern, die sie gefunden haben in Griechenland. Und jetzt frage ich mich natürlich, was macht diese Funde so aufregend? So what makes these bones so very exciting for you as a scientist?
Well, again, this is about what they can tell us about the individuals who they represent. About how they lived, what kind of adaptations they might have had, what kind of lifestyle they might have had, what kind of injuries or food or scarcity of food they might have had, how they might have died. These are all pieces of information that we can try to extract from these bones.
Also diese Knochen geben einfach jede Menge Informationen ab. Wir haben ja gerade schon gehört, aus welchen unterschiedlichen Bereichen. Man kann daraus sehen, was die Leute gegessen haben, wie sie gelebt haben, auch wie sie gestorben sind. Also jede Menge Informationen, die der Wissenschaftler daraus lesen kann. Jetzt ist eine der Hauptarbeiten von Frau Havati, Belege dafür zu finden, dass wir Menschen tatsächlich allesamt aus Afrika kommen. Wie belegt man so etwas mit Knochen, frage ich mich. One of your major topics is proving that mankind's origins actually lie in Africa. But how can one prove that with bones only?
Well, actually, there are several lines of evidence that support this, not just from bones, but also genetic information, for example. But if we only look at the paleoanthropological side or the bones, so to speak, right? So we can... There are two main sort of pieces of information that we can talk about. So from the point of view of the fossils, Africa is really the only place where we find fossils that are intermediate in their anatomy and their morphology between more ancient hominins like Homo erectus and modern humans like the people that we see today, us, ourselves. So we don't find this intermediate series of fossils anywhere else in the world. So this really makes Africa unique. From the point of view of my own work, what we did recently is examine a new fossil. Well, it was found in the 50s, but nobody really understood its significance until later on. And in fact, what was missing from this picture was that there were no fossils from the later part of modern human evolution. So from the time of the modern human expansion out of Africa. So we have many early modern human remains in Europe. These are the Cro-Magnon people. Maybe you have heard of them.
Der Cro-Magnon Mensch, ja.
But until recently, there were no finds from this time period from Africa that we could compare them to. So in our recent work, we examined the first known early modern human remains from South Africa that date to this period. It is about 35,000 years old. This is soon after the expansion of modern humans out of Africa. And it's a similar time period when we have the Upper Paleolithic or Cro-Magnon people in Europe. So we analyzed this skull, we looked at its morphology, and basically found that it's most similar to these Upper Paleolithic humans from Europe that lived at approximately during the same time period. And it was the first time that a direct link could be found between Upper Paleolithic Europeans and their African contemporaries. This, of course, suggests that these two populations that these fossils represent probably came from a recent, relatively recent common ancestor, probably somewhere in East Africa.
Also, das ist eine ziemlich komplexe Angelegenheit, aber letzten Endes lässt es sich darauf verkürzen, dass man Knochenfunde in Afrika gemacht hat, die einer Zeitperiode zuzuordnen sind. Dazu findet man keine Vergleiche irgendwo sonst. Also, es gibt halt diese Funde aus Afrika und sowas Ähnliches hat man nirgendwo anders gefunden. Man konnte allerdings Bezüge zu Europa herstellen und konnte dann ungefähr herausfinden, dass diese Funde so um die 350.000 Jahre alt sind. Also letzten Endes ja uns als moderne Menschen unsere Ursprünge aufzeigen, wenn ich das richtig verstanden habe. Jetzt wüsste ich natürlich sehr gerne, wie kriegt man eigentlich diese Information aus dem Knochen heraus? How do you actually get the information from the bone?
Well, okay, there are several methods that one can use to analyze bones. So a lot of information can be obtained by observing very carefully and measuring the specimens. So we can learn things about, for example, taxonomy. This means what species they belong to. Sometimes the first question we start with is, are these a Homo erectus, or are these Neanderthals, or are they modern humans? So this we can do. We can also try to answer questions. Is it a female or a male? How old it is, of course. And then, of course, we can go into the deeper questions that we talked about before. How did these individuals live? What kind of lifestyle they might have had? What kind of injuries they may have had during life? Are these injuries healed, for example, or could they have caused their death? Did they have, can we find evidence of malnutrition, and so on and so forth. So, what we do in my laboratory is actually use geometric morphometrics and virtual anthropology methods, and these are very comprehensive methodologies for analyzing shape differences, and this allows for a detailed statistical analysis of shape differences in large comparative samples in order to try to answer some of the first questions. What species do these remains belong to? What kind of adaptations they may have had, and so on. And we also use virtual anthropology, and this is actually using medical imaging technology, such as CT scanning, which is very helpful for bones, and computer analysis, in order to look at very great detail also inside the bones, right, without actually damaging them, without cutting them, and so on. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in this way, we can reconstruct the shape of the brain of a fossil hominin without having to destroy the skull or cut the skull open and so forth.
Also der Vorteil der Arbeit in Ihrem Labor, sagt Frau Havati, ist, dass Sie nicht nur sich der üblichen Mittel bedienen können, wie die Knochen zum Beispiel einfach anschauen, sie vermessen, sie etwas genauer von außen zu untersuchen, sondern sie können tatsächlich mit Hilfe der modernen Technologie, zum Beispiel mit einem Computertomographen, in die Knochen hineinschauen, ohne sie dabei zu beschädigen. Und daraus kann man unglaublich viele Rückschlüsse ziehen. Jetzt ist natürlich die ganz grundlegende Frage, warum es für uns Menschen heute wichtig ist, diese Entwicklungsabläufe zu verstehen, um die sich Frau Havati an ihrer Forschungsarbeit kümmert. Why would you say is it important for us today to understand these principles and mechanisms of evolution?
Well, I think, first of all, I think already paleoanthropology carries great interest for the general public. It opens a window on the lives of people who came before us, whether it's in the relatively recent past, such as archaeological population, or in the oldest parts of the fossil record. So, but I think basically we try to answer one of the most fundamental questions that everybody has.
Where
do we come from? Exactly. And I think this is very interesting to all people. And of course, it helps us also give some perspective to our own lives.
Vielen Dank, Frau Havati, für dieses Gespräch. Katharina Havati vom Tübinger Labor für virtuelle Anthropologie. Und sie sagt, letzten Endes ist es wichtig, diese Forschung zu betreiben, um eine der fundamentalsten Fragen der Menschheit zu beantworten, nämlich, wo kommen wir her? Und wenn man diese Frage beantwortet, dann hat man gleichzeitig natürlich auch das Fenster geöffnet in die Zukunft. Thanks a lot for talking to us.
Thank you.